Let me share a word with you here of a bit of a new season that we're going to be in as we come out of Strongholds. This applies to what we've been in Strongholds. Thanks for, again, all the feedback. I hope you got the notes. I pray you're being set free and going through that process in your relationships and personally. But we want to transition here to talking about the church which I'm calling Jesus Christ in Heaven and on Earth. And that's a specific title, the church, Jesus Christ in Heaven, the head, and the body on earth. I want to start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. This verse, these two verses, have really been stirring in my heart for quite a while. I'm almost to the point of making me woozy one day when I was having my quiet time and heading to take a shower. I felt a little bit faint from the glory of what these are and who the body is. But in Ephesians 1, at the end of what is Paul talking about in this great, glorious chapter, a prayer of his, he's talking about Jesus, and he says, "And he, the Father, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and he gave him, Jesus, as to be the head over all things to the church, ecclesia, which is his body," not which is metaphorically his body, not which is kind of a type of, which is literally his body, "the fullness of him who fills all in all." Love this passage, and why this passage has always been so stunning to me is we have multiple passages where it says that Jesus is our fullness. That makes a lot more sense to me, that I can get my heart around that. Jesus is the fullness to my emptiness. I get that. But this passage says here that we, the body, the church, which is what that is, the body, is the fullness of Jesus, whose mission is to fill all things in every way. We understand from the scriptures that the heavens and the earth are to be filled and need Jesus. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10, powerful passage, pretty thick and meaty verses, but it says, "Making known to us, the Father made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ." This is the secret of God that had been held and was whispered by the prophets, but started to manifest among the apostles. And here's the plan for the fullness of time in the history of man, and that is to unite all things in him, in Jesus, things in heaven and things in earth. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, that Christ is all and will be in all. Actually, the heavens and the earth need to be filled with Jesus, filled with Christ, not filled with Christianity, not filled with just goodness. God's not just about making this planet more pleasurable and less painful, which will happen, obviously, but it's more than that, everybody. God's plan is to fill everything with his Son, to fill all things with himself, because he is the fullness of Yahweh, the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus is the head, and he's seated as that unique Jewish God-man. He's seated in the heavenlies right now and is filling it with his government and his glory. That's happening right now. It's a glorious thing. But Jesus, the body, which is true, Jesus, the body, his church, is now progressively filling the earth and the heavenly realms, which still have evil spirits in them. My sentence is not complete there, but he is progressively now filling. That's what the kingdom advance is about. The kingdom advance, again, is not about just removing devil and removing sickness. That has to happen because of the main plan. The main plan is to get the earth and the heavens full of Christ. That's the main thing for our Christian life. It's not just to get rid of bad things. It's to get us filled up with Jesus, filled up with the eternal life of God, because in him is life, and that life is the light of men. Jesus, God has a plan from the beginning of the earth, as you know so well, as we say so much, to fill the earth with his image. You remember? And God said, "Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion." In 28, "Let them fill the earth." What's God doing? He's filling the earth with his image. His image is all that is true about him, his glory and his government and his very virtue and his life. Well, Adam and Eve fell from that, as you know, tragically, in Genesis 3. And we got 4,000 years of soulish men who have fallen short of the image of God. And they're filling the earth not with image of glory and government of God. They're filling the earth with immorality and murder and flesh and selfishness. But praise God, God became a man. The second person of the Deity, the Word became a flesh. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, it says in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now we got a man again. We got a new man. We got a new species. We got the new creation. We've got hope again. Because that race of man fell and they fill the earth with violence and immorality and darkness. Now we've got the God-man, that Jewish glorious God-man that was born of a virgin. And this can be said of him. And surely Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is thinking of Genesis 1:26 when he says he is the image of the invisible God. And it was his purpose to fill the whole earth with his image. So thus we have mission. We have the call to go and save the lost. We're not just trying to save them out of burning. We're trying to get them back into their destiny to bear the image that they were made to bear. Is everybody with me? We've made it about a future event and a future place, heaven or hell, and that truly is the fruit of where we're going. But this is not the main mission. The main mission is human beings were made to be filled with the glory and life of God, to bear His image and express His dominion everywhere. And they fell short of that. But oh God, it is glorious wisdom. It's shocking. You're so used to it, and I'm so used to it, I don't think we're amazed as much. But God became a man. God became a man and released His image into him. And now Jesus came and he did His work of redemption on the cross, rose from the dead, is seated at the right hand of God to do this. The church is the body of Christ that's being conformed into the image of Jesus. Read Romans 8:29 with me. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined or predestinated. He had a predestiny that they would be conformed into, there's our word, the image of His Son. This is the destiny of the church, is that she would be in the image of Jesus. Not that she would just get out of one place and go to another, but she would come into her predestiny to be conformed into the image of the Son of God in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So, God's plan, God's strategy, God's plan and His strategy is to fill the whole earth with the church, the body, which is the fullness of Jesus. It's very important. Ephesians 1, 22-23 again, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him head over all things for the church. Why? Which is His body, so they could be the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus said in, I think it's John 16, it's for your good, guys, that I go away. I got to go. I got to go so I can send Him. You know what that means? In other words is, I got to get out of here. He said in one place with Him, He said, I've been with you, but I'm about to be where? In you. I can't get that done right here, right now. I got to get myself passing through death, let this Adam body be crucified, a body that could die, get through death, conquer it, get a body that would never die again, and then I got the authority to start pouring out the Holy Spirit from the right hand of the Father, which is my spirit. I got to go so I can get in you and I can have many brethren and I can fill the earth with me. That's what we are. We're not just talking about Jesus. We're not just putting posters up about Jesus. Listen, we're not just trying to get people to come to meetings so we can talk about Jesus. We're being conformed into the image of Jesus by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why we say, your life is not about you. It's about Jesus. Your marriage is not about you. It's about Jesus and the church. Your children and your family life and your money, your sexuality is not about you. It's about a testimony of the glory and the image of Jesus. Because God's plan is to fill the heavens and the earth with Him. And thus we must convert men and bring salvation so that they are transformed and born again and come into Christ. In Revelations, we get two revelations about the church in primary way from two men. Jesus, number one, in Matthew 16:18-19. You know this verse, but read it with me again. Jesus talks of the ecclesia, not the church building, not the church plan. There is none of that. That's a misnomer by us. He talks about the church. He says, I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock of your confession about me, I'm going to build my ecclesia, my people. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here, Jesus gives us some key phrases that I think we know, but let me say them again. Number one, Jesus, not man, builds the church. That's huge. It really is. In a society where we're so creative and we write so many books and we got so many conferences and plans, it's hard to remember that Jesus is the one who builds the church, not man. He's not looking for our creative ideas. Jesus builds the church, which is human beings, living stone to living stone, redeemed, and he builds this glorious temple. He builds it. Jesus builds it with people based on the revelation of himself, people that have been born again and converted. It matters not if you sit in a building. It matters not if you go to a small group. It matters not if you prayed a prayer. Oh, be careful. What it matters is if you've been transformed and born again and been crucified with Christ, and you are now supernaturally put in Christ, and now you become what is the real church. The real church is everyone who's in Jesus. There's only one of those in El Dorado. There's really only one of those in all the earth. It's everyone who's in Jesus. That's the church. Jesus builds the only thing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Do you know that? Listen, I want to talk about you. You're the only thing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The gates of hell are actually manipulating and motivating businesses and industries and governments and kings and nations. They can't prevail against Satan. They're motivated by him. They're seduced into worshiping self and worshiping immorality and all the things there are. Deception is on the nations. They cannot prevail. The only thing that can prevail against the God of this age, little g, is the church of the living God. We're the ones. That's why I say over and over, you're the best hope. You're the best news for your neighborhood, for your nations, is the church. Unless, of course, you hole up in buildings and we try to get people just to come to our buildings and to join our thing and to sign a card and then we move forward. The church is this dynamic, living organism that can cast off the rule of Satan. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to our head, and that life is now flowing into his body, which is us, and now we, by power, can break the power of Satan because he gives us the keys of the kingdom. This is the thing he says about us. Hell won't prevail. You're the only living organism on the planet that can overcome it. And you know why? Because I'm going to give you keys. And you guys together will bind and loose. You know what we bind? We bind up the curse and we loose the blessing. We bind up together. I don't think this is just me by myself, by the way. I mean, I can do that to a certain measure, but there's something else. When I get in a room with Chip, and I get in a room with Tim McVeigh, and we agree together, and we begin to bind up what's opposite heaven, and we begin to loose what's in heaven, something happens. Something happens. And that's why there's so much persecution and division in the generations about people having relationship, real relationship. We'd rather do meetings and we'll sit by each other than to get in each other's lives. I mean, it's hard. You know why it's hard? It's hard because you got warfare in your life. You got insecurity. You got shame. You have trouble doing that. We can't get on mission. We'll live places for decades and never be on mission. And the reason is there's war against that. There's war about us being together. But God has called us to do this, and it's glorious, and you're the best hope for the city. The second revelation of the church is really given by Paul in his epistles. And we see things like, let me go briefly through those, in the book of Ephesians. Oh, read the book of Ephesians. It's about the body of Christ and Jesus in it. But that verse we said in 23 of 1, we're the fullness of him who fills in all. Ephesians 2, the last verse, 22. In him, you're being built together to be the dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Listen. I love the visual of the tabernacle moving around in the desert. Fire by night, cloud by day. Isn't that just, it's visceral. You think about it. Fire burning by night and the miracles that happened in Moses' time. But I tell you, God's no less supernatural now. It's just he's shifted. He's not looking for a tent with sheep, goats, and post. You and I are the temple and the tabernacle of God. That's it. We're the moving, roaming fire by night and glory by day. It's you and I. We're the carriers of the presence. You don't come to this building to be in the presence. Jesus puts the presence in you, and then you uniquely, when you come together, two or three gather, there's presence. Ephesians chapter 3 says that Jesus is making known his manifold wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm through you and I. You and I are his means. We're his strategy for defeating his enemy. Ephesians chapter 5. in the midst of marriage, he talks about us being the bride of Christ, and you know that, and washes us with the water of the Word. We're the eternal lover of Jesus. So we see the church is Jesus' body in fullness, which carries his Spirit. How glorious. The church is God's means of showing his enemies his wisdom and fulfilling his eternal purpose. And the church is the glorious bride and partner for eternity. Now listen, I hope that you're encouraged this morning. I want you to get a higher value about who you are as the body of Christ. You're more than an audience. You're an army. You're more than a business. You're family. You're more than an observer. You're a lover. You're a carrier, a vessel of the presence of God, unless, of course, we come short. And I'm telling you, there is much from the enemy to cause us to come short, to reduce church to Sunday for an hour and a half in a building. That's why we've always downplayed it, and we're always about sending, because here's the deal. We believe you're the church, and you're supposed to go, not come. Now, we like to come together. Some people say, Sam, do you not want anybody to come to the meetings? I'm like, no, I like the meetings. I think I'm getting to say the truth at the meeting. I think we get to talk about global international partnership at the meetings. We're actually a fellowship of multiple churches. This is not a church. There's just multiple churches that meet here with us. And I'm good with that, but I'm not good with it being the barometer and the evaluator of how we're doing in the kingdom. That's just off kilter. The contrast of the church in China and the church in America, sorry for an abrupt change there, but give me this parenthesis moment. The church in China was 3 million or so in the 1970s, but it's now estimated that there's 130 million believers in China, making it the largest Christian nation on the planet. Isn't that amazing? It is. Some think it may be a little lower at 80 million. Some think it may be 200 million. Either way, it's exponentially increasing so fast and underground, we can't even figure it out. But it's power. It's anointing. Cities and villages are changing as people meet in caves and places. The church in America has declined since the 1970s in conversion and church attendance, whatever that means. There are reported 120 million people in America who say they're born again. But one-third of that 120 million say they have no personal relationship with Jesus. Is that the born-again that the Bible's talking about? I don't think so. You know what that means? They went to a meeting, and they prayed a prayer, and they signed a card, and now they're born again. They baptized them in water, and they're born again. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Being a believer means you lay down your life, you take up your cross, you trust Jesus for forgiveness, yes, but you are changed so you can come after him and have that personal relationship and be in the body of Christ. The church in America has been declining. Look at our political landscape. Look at the way the cultural war is going on. You know we're losing, right? I mean, God's going to win in his sovereignty, but you know the deal. We've been slipping. The Chinese church is about 90% underground. And it's rapidly multiplying without buildings, property, seminary-trained leaders, conferences, or programs. How are they doing that? 90% underground. They can't do that stuff. And they're just rapidly multiplying. The American church is 100% above ground. And listen, owns reportedly $232 billion worth of property. Anybody hear that? We own... That's an estimate. $232 billion worth of buildings that are going to burn. And we spend billions more on education and seminary and conferences and books and movies and t-shirts. And I'm not anti anybody having a Christian t-shirt or having a Christian book. All right? That's not my point. My point is we've turned this into an industry. And we've made it an industry and we ain't gaining. We're not gaining here. We're losing ground. Why? The Chinese church is forced by persecution to be the church, living simply by the Spirit, the Word, dynamically making disciples of millions without buildings or programs. That's what they do. Now, let me say this something to you. The persecution is not what makes the growth. Does everybody understand that? The persecution creates the culture to where they're not distracted so they can be the body of Christ, then the anointing cuts loose. Everybody understand what I said? Fasting does not change your heart. The Holy Spirit changes your heart. But fasting puts you in a heart culture where the Spirit can have greater work. Persecution always does that. Persecution takes away what the American church, in radical freedom, is seduced into functioning more like a business or like celebrity Hollywood, as it treats its faith as a hobby or luxury, rarely being on mission for Jesus. And I am aware that that was a fairly negative statement. And because of that, I think I'll read it again. The American church, in radical freedom, is seduced into functioning more like a business or Hollywood, as it treats its faith as a hobby or a luxury, rarely being on mission for Jesus. It's never been a problem, everybody, to get people in a building. That's not the problem. The problem is getting people to follow Jesus. That's the problem. You can actually get thousands of people in a building, and they don't necessarily need to follow Jesus. Does everybody understand that? Praise God for Bill Hybels with Willow Creek in Chicago, who started some of his church growth stuff, as they did inward studies and found out 25,000 people. Oh, no. We're not making disciples. He wrote a document. We were wrong. We got mega church pastors resigning. Francis Chan quit his mega church in Simi Valley, 3,000 to 4,000 people, because he went, uh-oh, I can draw crowds to hear me talk, but I'm not making disciples. I got an audience, but I don't have the army of God. And he decided there's systemic problems within what's happening and what we're doing, as we've turned this into entertainment and an option and a lucky charm I hang around my neck instead of a life of full discipleship. Everybody with me? Man, this is hard stuff. You're just so awesome. I'm here to encourage you today. If you like me, say amen. Oh, thank you. You seven people and I will go to dinner. Hey, I love you. I love you. I'm here to give you good news. You're the best hope for the planet. But you've been being warred on. You've been being warred on. We don't need to go to China. We don't need to get persecution. We need to get revelation. We need to go after Jesus fully and see Jesus in the heavenlies, see Jesus in the body of Christ, and get on mission. We might try, instead of trying to get people to come to meetings on Sunday morning that we're doing outreach, maybe we could engage them by the power of the Holy Spirit with our own lives. Maybe we could have them for dinner and get into their lives instead of trying to get them to Preacher Sam or Preacher Bob or Preacher Marcia and try to get them changed. Get free of the clergy laity thing you're in. You don't have to wait on it. You can interact with people and engage them. So what we're doing here is our mission, I hope, is in agreement with Jesus' mission. I want to clearly say what this is about, what we're about, and you know this. Jesus is building the church. He does it, we don't. The church is literally the body of Christ. It's not a metaphor. We are. It's a glorious thing. I've been sitting in meetings. I've been getting short of breath about sitting with believers and going, literally having some manifestations of short of breath of, wow, two to three of us together, there I am. I'm a member. I'm in Christ. It's a glorious thing. As in heaven, Jesus is filling the earth with himself, which is the body of Christ. So I'm about not trying to gather meetings and build this. I want to send you. Send and plant the church in every neighborhood, every family, every city, every nation. We are really a fellowship of multiple churches, as we've said before. There's much deception and war against the body of Christ to cause us to come short and to get off marker and to control. Our mission at New Life is to assist the church in planting and filling every neighborhood, city, and nation. That's you. That's you. It's not New Life's small group program. I have no small group program. We have no strategy. You're the strategy. You're Jesus' strategy to break the curse off of the people you're around. Everybody with me? Don't go buy another book. If you want to, you can. Or go to another deal that tells you the key of how we make people come to buildings. You're it. You're the best hope. And you may be going, uh-oh, then the city's in trouble. Well, not really. Jesus is powerful enough to get this done through weak human beings. But we need to get more simple, not more complex. We got to get more raw, not more organized and professional. We got to stop planning so much and start praying more. That would be good. I tell you, I read a deal. The house church movement in Iran is taking off. President Ahmadinejad, is that how you say his name? Who's not the president anymore. They got a new president. But he was irritated by this. I was reading an article. The church just kept taking off. House churches were expanding all through Iran. They couldn't get it to go away. He made a mission. I'm going to stop Christianity during my presidency. He didn't get it done, by the way. He didn't get it done. It just multiplied. They beat them, they killed them, and they put them in prison. I saw pictures of the people. And every time they did it, like 100 more would show up. And more house churches would go. I tell you, it's glorious. As Tim says, God is outflanking the enemy in every nation. Every nation. Because the power and the anointing that's in the church. And it's growing best and mostly where there's not so much freedom and planning going on. Really. Beloved, you are the body of Christ. You are what is to fill the earth. You together are the body of Christ, and you're the best hope for your neighbors and for the nations. We exist as a mission base to equip you, to send you in the principle of two by two, to manifest the blessing in and break the curse off of your neighbors and the nations. Something powerful when we together, in simplicity, begin to live the Christian life 7 days a week. When we begin to live it in our neighborhoods, our homes. I don't know how to do this. David Melinda, I don't know how to do this. All I know how to do is to say Wednesday night at 7:30, would you come to my house? We'll get the Stars. Are the Stars here? They live in my neighborhood. We're gonna go get, who else? Kelly wants it. We're in our neighborhood, and Amy and I, and we're going to get together. You know what we're going to do? We have no strategy. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Let's edify one another, and let's pray. Lord, break the curse off our neighbors and use us to bring the blessing of the gospel to them. How do we do that? That's what we'll do. And then we'll listen. And what do you think? You think God's got an opinion about that? I think he does. We may be mowing yards. We may be having barbecues. I don't know what we're doing, but I'll tell you this. We're not making a feeder program and a satellite program off of New Life. We're being the church on First and Emporia. That's what we're doing. We're planting the dynamic, hell can't prevail against church on First and Emporia. We're going to exercise spiritual activity. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. We're going to serve. We're going to love one another. And we'll figure out what happens. Will it be successful? I don't know. And I got to stop asking that question. I want to be faithful. I just want to be faithful and let the Lord bless us as we go. So our mission, if you've not known it before, let me say it again, is to help you. You to be that church. You're the best hope. You've got so much anointing in you. And I know you got strongholds, and you think you can't. You got to bring people just to meetings to have impact on them. I'm sorry about that. You don't have to. You're thinking that you're unqualified, and you're ashamed, and you're, you know what I mean? You're thinking that you got to argue over theologies and doctrines. I'm sorry. You don't. You're the glorious royal priesthood in the city of El Dorado. Glorious, anointed. You're the righteousness of God. You who were once dead have now been made alive. You who were cursed now have the blessing. It's an awesome thing. And we can break you loose. And I think it can happen in all generations. The young, the middle-aged, and the old. We can begin to be on mission together for the glory of his name. And I'm telling you, hell cannot prevail against us. Let's all stand. Father, I pray for a revelation to this family, this spiritual family. Would you give us a fresh revelation of the body of Christ? Would you break us loose from the shackles of individualism, of traditionalism, of insecurity, using physical instruments to try to do spiritual things. We pray that you would give us a revelation that we are your incarnation. We are your means for reaching out. I thank you that all that are born again in here have a witness. They have a testimony. I pray you put power on that testimony. I pray that you loose us from the chains that bind us to clergy laity stuff and to... I just pray you free us, God. Thank you that you're raising up the body of Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in China. Would you bless our brothers and sisters in China? Those that are meeting in caves, met in caves 12 hours ago. Those that meet for 4 to 12 hours, shocking, for in 120-degree rooms. so hungry for the Word. Share one Bible among 100 of them and split the pages up. Thank you for hungry people in China, filled with your Spirit, so unequipped according to our standard, but so well equipped according to heaven's standard. We thank you for them. Iran, Lord, and Saudi Arabia, Lord, thank you for your church where it's at. Thank you for how it's moving and it's multiplying in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. And Lord, we bring our nation before you. God, have mercy on America. Forgive us for misusing the luxury of our freedom. Forgive us for then turning Christianity into a luxury, into a good luck charm. We pray that you unlock our hearts and release the organic, dynamic life of Jesus. Lord, seek and save the lost for your glory's sake. Thank you that we are your plan. We are your strategy, and you have not left us to our own wits. Thank you for the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless and refresh my brothers and sisters. Set us free to be on mission. Set us free from just living our lives and surviving. Set us free to give our lives away for you. And we do this all for your glory in your name, not New Life. We just do it for you. We love you. So, Father, I pray you send forth your people in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can you bow your heads just a moment? Let me just say something to you. I don't want to weird you out. I just have a real sense in my spirit of chains and shackles falling off people. But I know this. The key to shackles coming off is humility. Pride of many species is going to keep you bound up. It keeps me bound up. But if we'll humble ourselves before our God, I just see them dropping all over the place. Set us free, Lord, from what we thought was impossible. Encourage. I pray right now that chains of shame come off people by a revelation of the blood of Jesus. I pray that chains of unusableness, the thought I'm unusable, I'm disqualified, would be broken off by a revelation of the blood of Jesus and that you're the one who makes us competent. Take our tragic stories and make them redemptive stories that we can tell under the power of the Holy Spirit in simplicity to those that need to be set free. Father, move us. Guilt has not done it. Trying to persuade and come up with programs, it's not getting the job done. You were right from the beginning. The power of the Holy Spirit in a lover of Jesus does all the good work. You've always said it, and we agree. So Lord, take our lives, transform us on the inside, and fill our city, fill the earth, Lord, with your glorious body, your church. In Jesus' name, amen.